What's the last thing that God told you to do that you know? The last thing that He told you to do. This isn't for Sunday school. This is for you personally. This is to help you. What are God's last marching orders to you? Turn over to Matthew 16, please. And we're going to read verses 13 to 18. And then I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Start with verse 13, and we're going to take a few minutes, and I want you to write down, what is it you see in this passage? For example, to me, what's very noteworthy is that Jesus asked a question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? But then after they gave that opinion and told about what others thought of Jesus, he said, but who do you say that I am? To me, that is a key question for every single person. When you're talking to somebody, we just had Nate and Lee, I didn't, Sue and I had the opportunity to talk with somebody here the other day. And when I basically said, who's Jesus to you? It was interesting. And all of a sudden, eyes were open and warning bells were going off, ding, 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 ding. You know, railroad was about to come through. I think it was a train wreck. But, so, what I'm asking is, look at this passage. What do you see that's noteworthy? So, do you want to know how to know what's noteworthy? Good, I'm glad you asked. Luke 24:45, which we're getting ready to read in a minute, the next passage. It says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. So let's do this. Because if you, are you hearing me? If you take and start reading the Bible, and you just open it up and you start reading it, 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural man, in the natural, you're not going to receive the things of the Spirit of God. It says, another place it says, no man can know the things of a man except the spirit of a man. That's why it could also say, no man can know the things of a woman except the spirit of a woman. Because a man can't understand a woman, and a woman can't understand a man, because they're different. Well, guess what? Spirit and flesh are different. And if we're just reading and trying to figure stuff out or fill our heads with a bunch of knowledge or going by what we do, we enter into the kingdom of pride and we start thinking, I can do it by myself, number one. We start thinking, I've got it all figured out, number two. We start trying to understand with our own understanding. We get filled up with knowledge and then we want to impress other people. And that type of thing. So what we need to do is start off, because we want to live in the kingdom of humility, the kingdom of God. Amen. All right. And so what we do is we start off by saying, God, I don't know anything. What do you want me to see here? Please open my understanding. Please reveal to me. Please put the cookies on the bottom shelf, Daddy, what you want me to get out of this. This is your word. I'm your child. What do you want me to see here? Okay? So let's start off that way. Just pray that yourself. Pray that to God. Ask God that to help you understand. And then read the passage and write down what He gives you, what you see in it. What do you see? Not just what do you see, what is God revealing to you? You're reading this. What's sticking out? Write it down. See, in the natural, some thought that he was John the Baptist. They were trying to figure it out because John the Baptist had been killed. And so they thought, maybe he's him. They were trying to figure it out with their little brains. Why is the first mention of the church here? Why? What does Jesus say about church? Because the word church isn't before this. This is first mention. Okay? Why? What is a church? Whose is it? He said, it's my church. That's what he said. I will build my church. Whenever you read church, if you thought of it, instead of saying church, if you said the word called out assembly or separated assembly of people, it would begin to help you get an idea of what church is about, instead of thinking of church the way we always have of North American little club that meets on Sunday, you know, and we call the building the church. The building is not the church, it's the meeting place. I'm saying this for a reason. I'm trying to help you. Remember we had that, I asked y'all about what if we lived on an island and you had never heard of church or known of church, never heard of Jesus, and here comes a guy paddling, two guys, and the whole village, whole island comes running. Man, who's these people? I don't know. See, you're used to living in a big city. Well, you go down south, there's a whole lot of little cities. And for excitement, on Saturday night, they go down and watch a streetlight change. You think I'm kidding. They go and they tip cows out in the fields. What I'm saying is there's things they do that is a lot more simple. We were so used to so much going on, okay? So here's this island that you've lived on, it's your whole world, and some guys come, and all of a sudden the whole island shows up because they want to hear what's going on. When we went down to Mexico to a church, Monterrey, Mexico, they said, would you like to go with us and see how we evangelize a village? We said, yes. So we went with them, and we went into this little village out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know that they had electricity. I don't think they did. In the whole village, they had one Bible, okay? And when we showed up, we just canvassed or saturated that village going door to door and said at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whatever it was, we're going to have a film down here in the square. And that night, every single person in the village showed up. They didn't have movies, and we showed a movie. And the movie was about from creation through Christ, resurrection, okay, given a basic understanding. And then somebody got up and preached, and almost the whole village came forward and got saved at one night. Okay? If somebody, you lived on an island and that's all you knew, and somebody paddled up and they began to preach Jesus, and you had never heard this before, but down inside it was ringing true. You knew you were a sinner, and God got a hold of your heart, and you bowed your heart and accepted Christ. And then what's next? And they said, get baptized. And so they baptized the whole village or whoever, the island, the people that accepted Christ. And then you said, well, what's next? And they just handed you a Bible. And they said, here, read the instruction manual because we got to go to other islands and do this. Okay? In Matthew 16, Jesus is talking about he left his home and he came to an island. And they didn't know anything. They didn't really understand him. They had this version of him they were doing. They had not understood God. We had not understood God all through, you know, these several thousand years, whatever it was, 4,000 years. And God kept interrupting history touching somebody, Moses, Elijah, whoever, David, God would intervene in their lives. Noah, he would touch people's hearts. Those people would turn to him, but it would be one person in a whole world. And then God would try to reach them, and they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to get on the boat. They didn't understand. They're all caught up in what they're doing. They're all living in the flesh, living for the flesh. They're killing his messengers, which are just people like us that God moved upon their heart and they received him and they wanted him, they loved him. But then we would kill them because they were telling us stuff we didn't want to hear. So then God says, I know what I'll do. I'll send my son. I'll go down there myself. I'll form myself a body. They did the same thing to him. But he starts off and he says to the guys that are with him, who do others say that I am? Y'all are hanging out with me every day. But who do others say I am? Oh, man, you're creating quite a stir, Jesus. Some say you're John the Baptist raised from the dead. Some say you're Jeremiah came back from the dead. Some say you're that other prophet. Okay, but who do you say that I am? I want you to understand something. When Nate and Leida and Sue and I were talking to this person the other day, this person told me the call in his life is to train ministers. When I asked him. But he doesn't even know who Jesus is. He doesn't believe in the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection. And, oh, Jesus didn't come to die on that cross. He came and he starts waxing eloquent with all this stuff. I'm going, where is he getting this? What are we building on? I'm asking you that. What are you building your life on? What are we building this church on? Jesus is talking to those that are with him. He says, who do you say that I am? You got to start somewhere. And it starts with Jesus. Who is Jesus? So when you're dealing with people, are you listening to me? When you're talking to other people, who is Jesus? Don't just take, I asked that man, I said, do you love Jesus? I said, you love Jesus, right? And he didn't answer me. And the Holy Spirit said, ding, 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 go back. Because I was going somewhere, I thought. And God says, go back. I said, excuse me, you didn't answer me. Do you love Jesus? Now here's a man who said for 20 years he's been in ministry, trying to train ministers, starting churches. I said, do you love Jesus? I don't remember him saying this. Sue said she thought he said, I think so, the second time. The first time he didn't answer it. But as he went on after that, it was like the lid came off and all this stuff started coming out of him right after that. When you're dealing with people, we want to get them to Jesus. They don't need to be a member of Burning Bush. They need Jesus first. Do you understand? Just being our friend isn't going to get them to heaven. Do you understand? Just because they're a good old boy, just because we like being with them, just because they eat with them, that's not going to get them to heaven. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And then Peter gives us confession. Thou art the Christ. You need to look at that and you need to think about what that's saying. He's talking about who Jesus is. And Jesus said, you didn't get that from anywhere but God. He said, that is a revelation that had to be revealed to you from God. And then he basically said, I'm going to build my church on that foundation of who Jesus is. So we need to ask ourselves, who is Jesus to me? And when we're dealing with people, who is Jesus to you? I remember I bought a van from a couple some years ago. So it would have been around 92 and 93, somewhere in there. And God opened up the door as I was talking to them about the van to witness to them. And they invited me to come back. And it was the holiday season, like Thanksgiving, Christmas. And right after Christmas, I went back to talk to them. I had already bought the van, went back to them, talked to them about Christ. And I shared some verses in the Bible. And I said, what do you see from this? What do you understand what I just showed you? And everybody will do this. Do you understand what I just said? I said, what do you understand? Because this is what God was teaching me at the time. I said, what do you understand about yourself? What do you understand about your sin? And what do you understand about the Savior? And when she got to the Savior, she said, Jesus, He's a good person. He tells the truth. I said, so who is Jesus? Well, he's a good prophet. He's a good man. Is that who Jesus is? Is it? There's a number of people you could say that about, but they could trust in them and go to hell. Okay? It's not, Jesus is more than that. Somebody has to understand who Jesus is. Because how could you trust on Him and depend on Him to take you to heaven if you don't understand that He's God? Right. That He didn't need to die because He's the only man born who never sinned. Do you understand? Yeah. So I want you to look at this passage and I want you to take it this week and I want you to ask yourself some of these questions, okay? Looking at it and asking God, God, open my eyes, help me to understand. Okay, He gave a confession, and then Jesus said, that's good, because on that confession, that foundational rock, I'm going to build my called out assembly. That means Jesus is going to call people out. Who's He calling them out from? What's He calling them to? And then He says, I will build my church. I would rather preach to twice as many people, to be honest. 3 times, 10 times. I have. Okay? But lately, what God keeps, and He's been saying it to me for a long time, but I guess I just was getting it this week. Harvey, I don't want more people here right now. I'm trying to bring these into unity with what I'm doing here and what I want to do here. Because the more people you have, the more distracted you're going to be, the more questions, the more people taking up your time. And He says, I don't want you doing that because I want them growing up, them getting strong, so that we can divide them all up among them. You understand? But what are we going to do? It can't be like Nate and Leida, hey, can we bring this guy over for you to check him out? It's like, yeah, in the beginning, but we need to learn how to check him out. So when you're talking to somebody, who is Jesus to you? Good question. And there's more there, but I feel like we're supposed to go over to Luke 24, please. Luke 24. I want to start with verse 34, but today we're going to just do 44 because of the time. Okay? Real quick, 44 through 49. I would like to take and do the exercise again and say, please take a few minutes and say, God, please open my eyes, open my understanding, help me to see this. I want you to do that with this passage. You ready? Luke 24, 44 to 49. This is homework. You've got two passages. I just want you to list out, what do you see? What do you see? What is God showing you? What do you understand from what you're seeing? Meditate on it. Look, can you hear me? Can you look at me just a second? Would you please take this week, those thoughts? You get a thought, like the foundational confession of Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Take that thought and put it in your mouth like a jawbreaker, like a sweet piece of candy, and suck on it for a while. That's meditate. Do you understand? Carry it around with you. That's what I used to do when I was working in the machine shops or GM or wherever. That's what God taught me to do. Get a thought and get it inside of you and then think on that for hours. And just keep saying, God. And just think on each word of the thought. What does that mean? Why did he say that? All right, so let's look real quick. Just some thoughts, okay? Verse 49. He said, these are the words, and all things that all these things that I spake unto you, they had to be fulfilled because they were written concerning me. He said, I had to fulfill all these things because God said they were going to be fulfilled. He said, that's what I came here for. They were all talking about me. And then it says, then he opened their understanding that they could understand. And in verse 46, that word behooved, it means it was necessary or needful. That Christ had to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He said, I had to go through this. But remember when he first told it to Peter? Peter said, not so, Lord, far be it from thee. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because you savor not, you don't want the things of God. You're just wanting what's comfortable and what's of the flesh. Oh no, that doesn't fit into my plans for you, Jesus. I want you to come and be the king of, you know, welfare. I want you to feed us all and come and get these Romans out of here. And Jesus said, you don't understand what God's about. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay, let's look at verse 47. Because I want you to get, we're going to get to verse 48, actually, 49 too. Okay, real quick. 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Who's going to preach it? Look at verse 48. You're standing on the corner. Two cars, one of them runs a red light. The other one hits them. They T-bone. Boom. People are hurt. The ambulance comes, the police comes, the police, all these crowds around, the police say, does anybody see it? And you're like, yeah, I'm a witness. Are you a witness of Jesus? Are you a witness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection? Does Jesus live inside of you? Do you feel something inside of you to talk about him? We're going to take a thought, we're going to put it in our mouth, we're going to carry it around with us and suck on it for a while. And I wish I had a better word, okay? Savor. That's a good word. All right? Jesus, we love you and thank you. The simplicity that kids could get this, maybe we as adults could get it. Help us to savor your word, the thoughts you want us to, and to help us to realize, why am I here? And why do I make such a big deal of things that aren't a big deal when and make such a little deal of things that you say are a big deal? Jesus, I want to get in and look at things your way and do things your way and not just say that I am because I'm living by some rules of self-righteousness, my own righteousness, but that I would realize, hey, what is Jesus about and what's he up to and what does he want for my life? And when I read these things and think on them, it becomes so obvious and clear. Help us to get in on these things, because this world around us, the people around us are perishing, and more things are coming, and a lot of people are going to perish, and we don't want any to perish, Lord. Don't want any to be thrown away. Lord, we want each person around us. I don't want to see anybody miss what you have for them. And God, we're just committing this into your hand. I thank you for the people that are here. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you've shown us today. We need you much. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.